Psalm 16, this morning as we think about Easter together, verse 10, the Bible says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So I've entitled the message, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we remember today, as we do every Sunday, the resurrection of our wonderful Savior, may you work a miracle in our hearts through your powerful word to change us, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And we pray our Savior be glorified in this time, and that each of us would learn, that we'd open our hearts to hear from you. May your will be done in every life, in this service. We love you. We want to please and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For some Christians, this is kind of a controversial topic. That's why I thought it might be good just to go ahead and address it. Did Jesus not only die on the cross, but did he go to hell? There are many people who say it's blasphemous to say that he went to hell, but the Bible teaches that he did. Now, this scripture is in Psalms. So how do we know that it's talking about Jesus? Well, the Bible tells us so. Peter, in the book of Acts chapter 2, tells us that this passage is talking about Jesus. So let's turn there so we can confirm that, sure enough, this is about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, a prophecy given to David in the Old Testament about the resurrection of our Savior. Notice Acts chapter 2, down in verse 31. Now this is, interestingly enough, Peter's first sermon after Pentecost. And in a few moments we're going to see that in Paul's first sermon, he also referenced Psalm 16. So notice here in Acts 2:31, "He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." So Peter tells us that that verse, Psalm 16:10, he says it's about the resurrection of Christ. And he even says that his soul was not left in hell. See, we've got to understand that our soul and our body are separate. And we as Christians, we understand this. When we have a Christian funeral, we always go to 2 Corinthians 5:8 and say, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." And the Bible teaches that the soul and the body are separate. Notice, if you would, 1 Kings chapter 17. I'll show you an example where Elijah raised someone from the dead. And God actually uses the terminology to show us that, sure enough, the body and the soul are separate. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 21, if you would turn there, please, where Elijah raises the widow's son. And notice 1 Kings 17:21, "And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived." Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? He specifically said, "Lord, I pray that his soul can come back into his body." And that's exactly what God allowed. He allowed Elijah to bring this young man back from the dead, which is an amazing miracle. But his soul and his body were separate, and then they were rejoined. Because we often think, well, Christ, the Bible told us in Matthew 12, verse 40, he said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Well, his body was in the tomb, but where was Jesus? Where was his soul? He wasn't just sleeping there in the tomb. He went to hell. Now, he didn't go to hell to suffer torment, as we'll see. He didn't go to hell for punishment. He went to hell for a couple of reasons. One of them was to pay for our sins. The payment for our sins was more than Calvary, in and of just Calvary of itself, the shedding of his blood. His soul had to go to hell to complete the payment for our sin, because the Bible says that we owe a debt of death, right? The wages of sin is death. And death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, we're told this if you go to Isaiah 53:10, that sure enough, not only was Christ's body a sacrifice for our sins, but His soul was a sacrifice for our sins as well. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10, where the Bible tells us this very truth. Notice Isaiah 53:10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed, He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand." Now we're told in Hebrews chapter 10 that His body was also an offering for sin. The Bible says, "By the which we were sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Both were offered as an offer, as a sacrifice for our sins. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, we often think He died in my place, and He did, praise God, and He shed His blood for me, but He also completed the payment by going to the place where we should have gone. Think about that this morning. And we know He went there because the Bible tells us so. His soul was not left in hell. And no, that's not talking about the grave, which some people will try to say, oh, it doesn't really mean hell. It does mean hell because Peter told us it means hell. And by the way, Paul's going to tell us the same thing. So one of the reasons why Christ went to hell was to complete the payment for our sins. But another reason He went to hell was to preach. And if you go to 1 Peter chapter 3, I'll show you this. Jesus Christ went to hell and preached to the spirits in prison, as the Bible tells us here in 1 Peter 3:19. Notice 1 Peter 3:19, "By the which also He went and preached unto the spirits in prison." Well, who would that be? I personally believe it was the lost. He finalized their condemnation. He basically went down and He told the lost, "I died on the cross. You never trusted God. And you're condemned." And I believe He also told the saved, as we saw in Luke 16, either last week or the week before, the saved and the lost could actually see each other across a gulf up until Calvary, a place called Abraham's bosom, another place called a place of torment. And I think He preached to them as well and said, "Your sin's paid for, let's go." Because up to that point, man wasn't allowed in heaven. Because even though people did get saved in the Old Testament, their sins had not been paid for by the blood of Jesus yet. So they couldn't go. Notice 1 Peter 4:6, just over the next chapter. He says, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. So Jesus preached to those that were dead. Well, the Bible always refers to the unsaved as the dead. Now, if you would look back at Ephesians chapter 4, and just make sure we get a handle on this, that Jesus, yes, His soul went to hell, but praise God, He has the power over hell and didn't stay there. But notice Ephesians 4 verse 9, "Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?" And we're told all through the Old Testament that hell is in the earth. "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things." Jesus did both. He descended into the lower parts of the earth, and He ascended to heaven 50 days later, as we know. That's why we're told in Revelation 1:18, turn over there if you would, please, and it actually makes this verse come alive when we read, here in Revelation 1:18, "I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." It really brings it home now that we understand that Jesus did go down to hell. He did preach to the unsaved or the dead. But then he, of course, because he's God, he had the power to leave hell. And here he tells us he has the keys to hell. That's because he's God. So when Christ died, the Bible says he destroyed death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Jesus was telling the world that I have conquered death for you, and that's why he can offer us eternal life. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. As we think about Easter Sunday, I think it's good for us to realize what Jesus went through. He was mocked. He was beaten. He had a crown of thorns put on his head. Of course, he was nailed to a cross. He was stabbed in the side. He went through all of that, never argued, never talked back. But then when he died on the cross, before he died, the Bible says that the sky went dark for 3 hours. And he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it was in the middle of the day. It was from noon to 3. The sky went dark. Why? Because for 3 hours, God the Father had to turn his back on God the Son. Because Jesus became sin. He didn't just take sin. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin. And so for those 3 hours, Jesus became our sin. And God had to turn his back. And Jesus had to suffer that separation that we would all have to suffer if we don't get saved. Eternal separation from life, from God. He suffered that for that time. And the whole of creation displayed that suffering. And the Bible says when he died, he said, it is finished. But he told the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. We read in Luke 16, where was paradise? That was another word used for Abraham's bosom. So it's interesting that Jesus Christ loved us so much, he was willing to not only go through the physical suffering, which is so amazingly intense. The Bible says his beard was plucked out by the roots. The Bible says his visage was marred more than any other man. That his face was so distorted from the beatings, from his beard being plucked out, from the rod being smacked on the top of his head, that he didn't even look like a human being. It says that in Isaiah 52, verse 6. His visage was so marred more than any other man. He went through all of that for us and then went to hell for us. But go to back to our passage. He didn't stay there. Hallelujah. The Bible says, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Jesus went to hell for us, but he was not corrupted by being there like we would be if we went there. Go to Acts chapter 13 now, and I want to show you that not only did Peter mention Psalm 16 in his first sermon, but Paul mentioned Psalm 16 in his first sermon here in Acts chapter 13. This is right after Barnabas and Saul were sent off on their first missionary journey. And Paul's preaching, and he mentions the same passage that Peter mentioned. Look at verse 34. This is Paul preaching, and he says, and as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So both Peter and Paul referenced Psalm 16:10 when they gave their first sermon to the Jews. It was so important that the Jews understood that David was talking about Jesus. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now the Jews would have known that it wasn't talking about David himself. Because never would a man be referred to as the Holy One. Never. The Jews knew this. They knew that only God is holy. The Bible even tells us that in the book of Revelation, chapter 15, verse 4. It says, thou only art holy. Only God is holy. And yet, in Psalm 16, the Bible says someone named the Holy One would not only go to hell, but he would be able to leave hell and wouldn't be corrupted by being there. Who does that have to be but the Lord Jesus Christ? Look, if you would, at Isaiah 43, and I want to show you that this phrase, Holy One, is a phrase used for Jehovah, God the Father. Now, the Jews knew this. If they would have put two and two together, it's hard for us to even imagine how this is possible, but if they would have put two and two together, they would have been able to figure out that God Himself, our Creator, went to hell for us. Isaiah 43, verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. When you see all caps L-O-R-D, like you see there in Isaiah 43, 15, the Hebrew word there is Jehovah. Jehovah is the Holy One. And by the way, He's the only Holy One. And yet, we get to the New Testament, Jesus is called the Holy One. Then, we have the third person of the Trinity referred to as the Holy Ghost. They must be God. So Jehovah says, He's the Holy One. David said in Psalm 16 that the Holy One went to hell. Imagine that. Could there be a greater story on earth than that our own Creator loved us so much that He was willing to suffer all that pain, all that humiliation, suffer physical death, but then even be willing to go to hell for us? Go back to our passage, Psalm 16, verse 11. What does all that mean for you and me? Well, praise God, it means everything. It means that God loved us so much, He was willing to pay for our sins that we might have life. Look at verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Because Jesus loved us so much that He was willing to go to hell on our behalf, die on our behalf, shed His blood on our behalf, what do we have access to but the path of life, fullness of joy, and pleasures forevermore? We are so blessed. The path of life. Jesus came to the earth and said, I am the way and the truth and the life. The Bible says, this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Jesus is life. Jesus is the giver of eternal life. And as David said here, because the Holy One was willing to go to hell for us, we can now be shown the path of life. And by the way, there's not multiple paths. There's one. Jesus. No man cometh unto the Father, He said, but by Me. Look at Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus made this ever so clear. And yet it's so sad because man won't listen. As we saw in Luke 16, I think last week or week before, as Abraham told the rich man who was in hell, he said, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. One did rise from the dead 2,000 years ago, and people won't believe. Notice Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Isn't it sad that the path of life is narrow? That so many people aren't finding it when it's free? God paid it all. Bible says in Proverbs 4, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. When we trust Jesus Christ, we get on that path of life. And God makes it brighter every day. But first we've got to get on the path. And that's trusting the One who died for us and went to hell for us and rose again for us. And what awaits us? Psalm 16:11, fullness of joy and spending eternity with Him. Jesus purchased this joy with Calvary. Jesus purchased these pleasures forevermore at Calvary. And David understood this. I want you to look at the next Psalm, Psalm 17, and look what he says in the next one about what awaits us if we're willing to trust the one whose soul was not left in hell. Look at 17:15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. David understood. And God wrote through him that sure enough, if we will trust the Holy One with our salvation, trust what He did for us, as it says here, one day we're going to awake with His likeness. One day we're going to behold His face in righteousness. We're going to see Jesus. Can you imagine what that'll be like? To awake with Him and be able to see Him. But he goes further and he talks about these pleasures forevermore. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. The Bible tells us that 1 John 3:2, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Pleasures forevermore. Being at the right hand of the Lord, fullness of joy. The path of life, all of this is available to those who will accept the life, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of what He did for us. So I think it's just good for us to remember this morning that Jesus suffered more than we could ever understand. Not only was He tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4:15. Not only was He beaten and crowned with thorns and stabbed and mocked and nailed to a cross and then mocked some more, but then He died and went to hell on our behalf, preached to those that were there, came back and ascended to heaven to say, death has been conquered. Eternal life is now freely available. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are a very blessed people, those of us that are born again Christians. And we need to tell others, Jesus paid it all. And that's a lot. He paid a lot. The temptations, the suffering, and His soul going to hell, all on our behalf. He paid it all. Amen.